Welcome to the OnFit Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the OnFit Podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. I'm Emma McGarthy, Programme Manager of the Sustainable Policy Institute, and today we will be discussing the role of just transition in developing sustainable cities. I am joined by Pepe Tissay, Chief Strategy Officer for the Good City Foundation and Upstream Officer at World Bank IFC, who contributed to our June journal on this very topic. So welcome, Peggy, and thank you for joining me today. First question to you is, what does a just transition mean to you, and why is it important to pursue a just transition to get to a green economy?
Sure. So let me first start by sharing a story of Hangzhou in China. So I first visited Hangzhou, which is a really quiet and scenic place with West Lake and Lingyan Temple like 15 years ago. It was nothing like a tier one city like Beijing or Shanghai or anything. But over the past decade, Hangzhou itself has leapfrogged into one of the most technology advanced smart city and also one of the most environmentally sustainable city in China, with top-tier tech firms like Alibaba in town. So it is demonstrating a new lifestyle option and new values beyond the traditional cities that has attracted many of the young generation to move into Hangzhou. So what I want to say here is that just transition is actually something that I believe would embrace the values of economic development and climate transition in one go. And it is also very important to pursue this just transition to a green economy because, yes, we are solving one problem, which is the climate crisis, but also we are seeking new opportunities to make the world that we're living in a better place with more development opportunities to grow the economy, to grow the society. And just transition should not only be limited to climate issues. It is very important in all topics now, and so we might as well put just transition into the broader development context and in all the regular conversations. So basically, just transition is a concept that is part and parcel in the climate conversation, in the economic development conversation, and to even dive deeper, we need to understand that if we want to move the needle towards a green economy, this would require a full participation of our society. And if we really want to bring everyone in to this movement, then we need to align everyone's goals and interests. And that would mean a just transition is going to happen. Otherwise, this would not work. So yeah, this is basically my view on the just transition and green economy.
Great. So it may be a little bit of a big question, but how do you think the goals of everybody can be aligned? How do you think we can kind of get everybody to kind of, you know, be involved in this just transition and to get this buy-in and to get this enthusiasm for a just transition?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I think as a strategy person, I always think that the overarching principle of facilitating a just strategy is to develop a human-centric approach or develop a human-centric strategy for the just transition. And with that, that means we need to consider everyone's cost and benefit during this process in the climate mitigation process. And then that would require the people's buy-in and support for sure, because if we do not have the component that can address people's concerns in all walks of life, then we won't be able to achieve that buy-in. And so this would basically be a human-centric approach that we need to adopt in the very first place when designing all the steps that are required in the just transition. And then gradually, I believe it will be much easier for us to get people's buy-in to get the necessary resources and also the momentum to move things forward.
Yeah, great. And so touching upon your role as Chief Strategy Officer at the Good City Foundation, and obviously maybe also going back to your original case study of the city and, you know, how they managed to kind of attract this development, manage to attract big companies and Can you give me some example for tools and practices that are required to ensure a just transition to green and sustainable cities?
Sure. Let me continue with the principles that I was talking about just now. We have long developed cities to be car-centric, business-centric, and et cetera. So it is really now the good time for us to return to human-centric and maybe even earth-centric, so it would not just be ourselves, but also for future generations of mankind if we protect the planet well enough. And it seems like the technology tools that are available now, no matter if it's hardware or software, have become much cheaper for us to deploy in city planning and infrastructure that can enable that human touch and considerations of human needs. So this should be really the starting point for us to begin planning a just transition and executing it. So another principle that I think would be very important is to be innovative. So using China again as an example, the country as a whole has been experimenting a very different approach compared to other countries to achieve their target. So China's target is to achieve this carbon dioxide emission peak before 2030 and carbon neutrality before 2060. So climate is really positioned to be the next growth driver for the economy. And large investments in related infrastructure and industry upgrades are underway. So this pledge is really broad-based. It's not limited to only the green economy, but also brown, blue, and other colors that are needed in this whole climate change mitigation process. So now that we have these like guiding principles, it will be so much easier for us to develop the practical tools to make just transition happen. So I think different actors in the field would have access to different toolboxes. For instance, in the public sector, like policymakers would have rules and regulations, taxation, etc., and the private sector would have investment mandates, business models to support their just transition projects. And the third sector would have advocacy tools. So this is a good example on how the division of labor should play out for different actors within the space, and they can all contribute to this common goal.
Yeah, I really like your point about kind of China's approach and how that's maybe differing from other countries. Could you touch a little bit more upon the approach that they've been taking more specifically? So what kind of, yeah, what approaches has China been taking to kind of drive this transition?
Right. Maybe I can share a little bit about our work at Good City Foundation. So our team has combined cross-sector expert knowledge from the fields of public policy, economics, technology, urban development, finance, etc., to really build a comprehensive framework that would allow us to contribute to the just transition in the different cities that we work at. In some of our partners are in China, some of them are in other parts of Asia and also Africa, and we also draw on the experience of our youth community members across the world. So one of the tools that we found, which is quite effective, is a grassroots public-private partnership style kind of framework. So we have tried that out in Indonesia and in the Philippines. It is not the traditional or the formal kind of PPP that we're talking about in big infrastructure projects, but it's rather a way that connects the government stakeholders and the business stakeholders together on the master plan of city development that in the past would usually be orchestrated by the government, but now with the input of, say, startups or small and medium enterprises, local companies, that like these private sector actors can bring in elements of just transition, like shared prosperity, equal opportunities, economic empowerment and social support, etc. So in the past, we know that government agencies may not be able to consider all these elements in a city's master plan. But within this grassroots partnership model, then it opens up a channel really for the companies to work together with the government and using a bottom-up approach to discover some of the issues that we're seeing when we try to execute this just transition. And these companies can contribute new ideas and also local perspectives to bring in those just transition elements into the master plan. So we see that actually playing out quite well in the Asian context, because a lot of them are very innovative companies, and they're also very young and energetic. They have taken examples and experiences and lessons learned from other countries, and they're very enthusiastic in adopting some of the new business models or technologies into their home country. So that is why we are seeing there are successful cases in the continent.
And in terms of kind of this bottom-up approach and kind of bringing in more kind of local perspectives, how is that being achieved? How are you kind of reaching those local people, and kind of how is that contributing to this transition?
So I think the sourcing of these new ideas is not really difficult, because there are a lot of companies that are very motivated and self-driven in different developing countries, most of them, because we're working, the countries that we're working on are mostly developing countries, and they actually have a lot of great ideas already developed and probably in pilot phase, and they're just waiting for an opportunity to scale up. So at Good City Foundation, what we're trying to do is to consolidate these ideas and basically to help them articulate well that they would match the narrative of the city development plan, which is very crucial, because otherwise the government stakeholders would find it difficult when these startups or small and medium enterprises are too disorganized or too scattered. And it is, so it's more like the information aggregation process that is required by organizations like ourselves to make sure that the government stakeholders can see the value that these companies can bring to facilitate just transition. And I think this is an important point that a lot of the platform or ecosystem builders are trying to do, and to make sure that we can all align the work that we're doing and the local companies are doing into the future city planning of a place.
Yeah, great. Do you see SMEs and startups then as being particularly important for driving this just transition in green cities?
Yes, of course. As I have written in the article as well, basically startups and small and medium enterprises, they are on the front line in the local community, and they're very embedded in the local communities. So we would see that if there are any climate change impacts, they would be the group of companies or people that are directly affected. And so they basically would be the most active people who are trying to, say, tackle some of the problems that the environment has been bringing. And so with that intrinsic interest in mind, so these companies and entities are basically very, very much eager to find new solutions, and they're also very proactive in telling people about what they think and how they would think is the best way to resolve this issue. So here I would say that listening to what the SMEs have to offer is a really important thing to do, because they have been observing the changes of the neighborhood or on the cities for such a long period of time. And so they would definitely know how these climate change problems would be affecting them. And they would also hope to look for future prosperity and social inclusion. And that's why, to merge these things together, the local SMEs are basically the best ambassadors to do that.
Yeah, brilliant. And I think we've touched upon this maybe slightly already, but what role do you think kind of larger companies and governments and other entities play in driving a just transition to green cities, and perhaps touching upon SMEs and the importance that they're playing? What role do you think these companies and governments play in kind of supporting SMEs and their development and helping this transition as well?
Sure. So Just Transition is a team effort. that everyone needs to be a part of the process and they need to put in a lot of effort to make it happen. So here I would say governments do play a very important role as a coordinator to ensure that all industries are aligned and motivated to work together for a just transition. And a just transition, I would say, it's like a marathon that needs constant encouragement. And so the government should also be a credible evaluator to monitor the transition progress and maybe regularly check that if any group in the society is left behind, because the magnitude of the climate issue is very, very big. And sometimes it is very difficult for everyone to keep track on where we're standing at. So maybe government should be taking on this role to provide such type of information. And within the private sector, so we've talked about SMEs, and on the other side, I have interacted with many global multinational companies who have made explicit climate commitments, say through different initiatives like climate disclosure reporting, CDP, or TPI, Transition Pathway Initiative, et cetera, et cetera. But there are a lot out there, but if we don't want just a PR statement, these companies would need to act on these climate commitments and deliver actual changes in their supply chains or manufacturing factories or sales models, etc. And so the just transition concept would come precisely in this process, because these companies need more than just like technology to achieve just transition and greenhouse gas emission reduction. So here we would see that the companies may not be able to do it alone. Say financial institutions need to provide financing support. International development organizations or climate expert think tanks should provide knowledge support so that these companies can really provide a holistic project plan on how to transform their business or supply chain in order to achieve the dual objective of just transition and climate change mitigation. So I would say a lot of people may still be holding the old school values of shareholder driven or profit maximization in the private sector. And definitely this view needs to be changed, and investors need to update their risk appetite so that they can give some capacity to the companies to work on longer term initiatives, which I believe would ultimately be a win-win scenario for all, including the shareholders themselves.
Yeah, brilliant. So just going on to some kind of recent global developments, what impact do you think COVID-19 has had on ensuring just transition to green cities and green economies in Asia? Has it hindered? Has it, you know, does it provide opportunities, in fact, as we kind of do recover from COVID? What are your thoughts on that?
So this definitely has been a very difficult period of time for everyone, and Good City Foundation has been keeping close touch and regular communication with all of our friends and partners across different countries. And we still host a lot of events to understand the local situations in our partner cities. So I would say on the good side, there's definitely stronger awareness on the green and climate issues across the world. It is yet another reminder telling us that because we now have this pandemic, a lot of our original lifestyle and habits are not sustainable. And the pandemic also pushed us into a new way of working and doing business. And then people also realized that, oh, actually, we can be very flexible. And making a change on these lifestyle is not that terrifying. So that's definitely on the good side, some of the things that COVID has brought us. But of course, on the flip side, I would say a lot of the climate change progress or projects have stopped. We've seen this across the world. Some cities or societies are becoming more divided because the pandemic has sucked out some of the resources of the poorer communities, and it would be much more difficult, and it would take a much longer time for these places to recover the economy and to resume their climate plan, basically. So that would mean that some of the work that has been done in the past may be reversed, or some of the achievements are erased. And to catch up and to make up of the lost time, I think some places and some countries may be struggling and definitely need the support, external support of other organizations or other institutions to bring them back on the right track towards green cities and green economies.
Going on from this, and perhaps, you know, I've already highlighted a couple of challenges, but what do you think are the key challenges that you perceive to a just transition?
So I would just list a few that came right on top of my mind. The first one is mindset shift. So we need to understand that it's not just about the companies, governments to do that, but individually, we also have the responsibility to contribute to the just transition. So how do we, as an individual, develop an appreciation for a more socially inclusive or a more environmentally sustainable world? We need to change our habits and basically change our consumption behaviors and things like that. So this would need a really long education process to make sure that people are aware of this and try to develop these new type of values that would really be able to make the change. So I'm actually seeing positive developments during this COVID period of time, and I hope that that can be sustained afterwards. And then another challenge would definitely be global collaboration and knowledge sharing. It would be very unfortunate if we delay the progress of just transition and climate change because the world is not collaborative and is not willing to share the new technology or knowledge that can help or contribute to this process. And it should be a common goal for all countries to work towards this. And I do have high expectations on increasing the level of global collaboration in the future. And then the last one, maybe I'll talk a little bit about, is the reskilling of the workforce, because we need to understand that the labor force that we have trained in the past decades are probably not suitable for or not best fit to do this type of just transition work. And according to World Economic Forum, there are a lot of new skills that people should pick up for the new century problems. And these would include active learning, complex problem solving, creativity, social influence, flexibility, critical thinking, etc. So these would be really important skills that people inside the government and inside the corporates and of course startups as well, to have these new skills so that we are all well equipped to face some of the challenges or problems that are coming up that we do not have a solution yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the comment on skills and kind of developing new skills for this transition is certainly very, very integral. So going on from the challenges, what kind of progress do you think has been made in moving towards a just transition? And what are your expectations for the future of green cities?
So I think the financial market is probably a good indicator to tell us how much progress has been made in this transition period. I looked up on Refinitiv, one of the financial data providers, and I see that actually in Q1 of this year, the sustainable finance bonds has hit $287 billion, which was double the issuance levels of Q1 last year. And the green bonds also achieved all-time high issuances, and corporate issuers increased their share of issuances by 146%. So these are all very encouraging figures that we are seeing, that a lot of the companies across the world are moving towards the right direction, and they are mobilizing financial resources to carry out these climate projects, and hopefully can also bring the society to just transition as well. That being said, there's still a lot of work to be done, because financing is only the first step. So we need to ensure that these investments and capital are properly deployed and the climate projects are properly executed, we need to make sure that the outcomes of these climate projects are well documented so that we can continue to come up with new solutions or ideas to resolve some of the issues that we don't have a good answer to yet. And we also need to recognize that sometimes there will be conflicts between climate change and just transition. So we also need to find new ways and creative ways to get around this. And we also need to continue engaging different stakeholders involved in this entire process so that we make sure that we hear different voices and we have add the different views into the planning of a green economy or a green city so that we continuously improve the entire progress. And it's not a one-off thing or a one-stop thing. It will be like an iterative process that we can continue to improve and make sure that we would do better and better for everyone in the society.
Yeah, really some great statistics there and some really, really optimistic points. So that's fantastic to hear. Well, look, thank you so much, Peggy. Thank you for joining me in the conversation today. And thank you to our listeners. You can subscribe to this podcast and all other OnFIF podcasts on our channel, which is on Spotify and iTunes. So thank you ever so much again, Peggy.
Thank you, Emma.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the OnFIF podcast.